You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk shows. We welcome you back on this Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. We got a first-time guest tomorrow. Bill Degnan is going to join us. He's 79 years old. He has become a local expert in the art of aging gracefully. I need to talk to that guy. Also, our Kara Woodruff is going to join us to give us an update on what's happening with Oso Flacco Lake. And on a Thursday, County Assessor Tom Bordenoro will join us to talk about, we passed Proposition 19 last November, so now what does it mean, and what are Tom's concerns? And mainly he just wants to answer your questions, because I guess he's been getting a lot of phone calls. That's why we're here. It is a Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Always good to be in conversation with Matt Hoy. Check out his website at hoystory.com. Mr. Hoy, good evening.
Mr. Congleton, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Speaking of hoystory.com, site redesign should probably launch next day or two.
And
been working hard.
What can we look forward to with the new redesign?
It'll just look cleaner, easier to read.
Okay.
I had it sitting on using a template or a theme that they stopped kind of supporting about 3 years ago. And I got a feeling that eventually it's just going to break, and I kind of want to avoid that.
Because you think ahead.
Sometimes.
And you never know, you may pick up some of this parlor traffic. They might come to you.
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to be that well known where, I get targeted by those companies, but...
Well, let's talk about this. We're going to focus on social media and a little bit on radio. And we mentioned this yesterday, but let me give you the details. This deals with Cumulus, one of the largest radio companies in the country. After months of stoking anger about alleged election fraud, one of America's largest talk radio companies has decided on an abrupt change of direction. Cumulus Media, which employs some of the most popular right-leaning talk radio hosts in the U.S., has told its on-air personalities to stop suggesting that the election was stolen from President Trump or else face termination. A Cumulus executive issued the directive on Wednesday, just as Congress met to certify Joe Biden's election victory, and an angry mob of Trump supporters marched on the Capitol. One more paragraph from this article. Brian Phillips, who's the executive vice president of content for Cumulus, said in the memo, "We need to help induce national calm now." Cumulus and his program syndication arm, Westwood One, quote, "will not tolerate any suggestion that the election has not ended. The election has been resolved, and there are no alternate acceptable paths." The thing that immediately jumps out at me, Matt, was the fact that they did this before the events on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been listening a whole lot other than your show, and I do occasionally listen to some of Ben Shapiro's stuff on YouTube, but I just haven't been listening to, and Rush isn't one of them, but Rush, Mark Levine, Dan Bongino. The interesting thing that I saw as I reloaded that article today was I had mentioned, because you brought this up first on Facebook, and I mentioned on Facebook that I didn't, the original article mentioned, Ben Shapiro. And I hadn't thought that Ben Shapiro had been one of the people doing that. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the article now, they make that very point. The story's been updated to clarify. While Ben Shapiro is one of their most popular hosts, he is not among the voices who promoted claims of a rigged election.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very good correction. I think that's, kind of the truth. But, these companies have a right to run whatever way they want to. If they don't want you talking about a certain subject or addressing a certain subject a certain way, you either fall into line or you find another job someplace else, or, this is the way the work world works, right?
Yeah.
No matter,
I think that's a key point. and we talked about it last night with our attorney, is that the First Amendment deals with Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, religion, and blah, 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 blah. But as you've pointed out, this is a private company, and they have, it's like Fox News. Fox News can tell its anchors and reporters to toe the line, and if they don't like it, like Shepard Smith, they're welcome to go elsewhere.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, the First Amendment's incorporated against the states via the 14th Amendment. So, you know, after the Civil War, that basically, you know, all those protections you see in the Bill of Rights are also protect you against the state governments doing something like that as well, and on down. It's not a First Amendment issue. And somebody asked, well, you know, can they, on your Facebook page, which, you know, there's some good discussion in there amidst some of the, you know, crazy stuff.
Right.
But,
it's Facebook.
You know, it's Facebook. It's, yeah. which, and it's 10 million times better than Twitter, which isn't saying much. You know, businesses, they can't control what you do at home. They can't control what you do off hours. When I worked at the Union Tribune, there was, they didn't end up having me on, but I'd been suggested by someone else for the local NPR station to come on and talk with them about some subject because of my blog. And I went to kind of run it by my supervisor, and he said, yeah, that's fine. You know, don't do it during, you know, business hours. And also make the note that, you know, your comments do not represent, you know, are not the official view of the San Diego Union Tribune or anything else. They're your own. So, yeah, it's businesses can do what they like. If you don't like it, find someplace else within a certain, and there is one limitation, at least here in California. There is a law protecting you against retaliation and employment for your political views.
Yeah. Well, and I mentioned on Facebook yesterday, it's no secret, I was called into the office a couple years ago here at AGM, and I was told I can never have Karen Vealy from Cal Coast News on the show again. So I had two choices. I could say, well, go take a F you. No one's going to tell me what to do, and I was welcome to walk out of the building. Or I could say, okay, and that's what I did. I said, okay, and she's not on the show. Now, is that censorship by AGM? Absolutely. Do they have the right to do it? Absolutely. And it's up to me to decide whether or not I want to continue working for them.
Right. I mean, you know, it's the way the world works. You know, First Amendment doesn't apply to private businesses. It doesn't apply to other citizens who may want to take action based on, you know, what you say. You know, it's not if someone's mad at you for not having, you know, Cal Coast News on, then and organize something to boycott your subscribers. You know, they have every right to do that as well. So it, you know, it doesn't affect, you know, the public coming after you and shaming you or whatnot. Although, frankly, there's a little too much of that going around nowadays for not very good reasons. But
I defer to you on newspapers, Matt, but I would imagine that there are newspapers around the country where the reporters are expected to toe a certain line and report within a certain clear philosophy of the publisher owner.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Generally, the line for a reporter, as opposed to an editorial writer or a columnist, is I don't want to know what your politics are, and I don't want to be able to tell what your politics are reading your copy. You know, that's for an AP reporter, for a reporter for any of the major newspapers, any of the, you know, any wire service, that, at least when I was still in newspapers, that was the goal. If I can tell, you know, it's like CNN with their chyrons. Chyrons, the little kind of text along the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
That, a lot of the time you look at those chyrons, I understand exactly what the political views of the chyron writer are. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's reflective also of the show host who's on that particular time. Maybe it's management's view. But for newspapers and for the normal political reporting, that used to be frowned on. That may be changing nowadays.
You don't think newspapers reporters are biased? Really?
Oh no, they are biased. Okay. Everyone's biased.
Right, but I mean,
but their goal should be to not, to not show it to everyone.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We'll pick that up. I got to get this break in. Matt Hoy is here. Check out his website, hoystory.com. We want to expand the conversation. We come back to talk about social media and what's been happening lately there. Is that censorship or not? You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Happy Tuesday. So the anonymous texter on the Stahlberg line who won't call into the show says, so why did the baker back east get destroyed when they refused to make the gay wedding cake? Private company A, you're so blind to your bias, Dave, it hurts to listen to you. Well, you don't have to listen to me. Go ahead and turn off the radio. Because your comparison, as I'm here with Matt Hoy, is stupid. I'm just not going to pull punches anymore. It's a stupid argument. I don't blame you for not calling in to make that argument. We're talking about whether or not the owner of a chain of radio stations has the right to set policy for what his or her on-air people say. And Matt Hoy, a bona fide conservative, is agreeing with me that they have the right to do it. It has nothing to do with the wedding cake example. That was a private company, a private baker deciding whether or not he wanted to sell a cake to a customer. Jump in, Matt.
Yeah, it's the only way that's kind of related to this is, you've got somebody with a, it's not even related. The case back in Colorado, the Masterpiece Bake Shop case, it wasn't that he wasn't willing to sell a cake. He wasn't willing to make a custom cake for a gay wedding. That was his choice. The reason why that, kind of came to all of our attention was the state government in Colorado basically tried to shut him down and fine him out of existence. Right. And they were slapped down at the Supreme Court. Again, right. That was a case of government doing the censorship or viewpoint discrimination, not a company setting rules for its own employees.
Yeah, which they have the right to do. This is not a First Amendment case. So,
no,
Matt,
it's not.
Yeah, let's though get back on topic. Let me throw some things at you, please. Twitter bans Trump permanently. How do you respond to that?
If they'd done it 3 years earlier, he would have been reelected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can do it. Is it necessarily wise to do it? What's the old line? Bad facts make bad law. I'm not sure. The question always becomes who's next, right? And the worry is that there's some sort of slippery slope where you get where you stop getting kind of the extreme right and the extreme left, and you start kind of narrowing the breadth of public discussion. That's where I start getting concerned.
I would not have banned him permanently. I would have maybe banned him for. I don't have any trouble with them kicking him off of Twitter. I just wouldn't have done it permanently. I would have said 30 days. 30 days. Get Biden in, get you out, and if you behave yourself, we'll give you one more chance.
Yeah, that's a decision the company can make that it wants, whether it wants to.
Yes.
I start to get worried about kind of the power. I am worried about the power of a lot of these large corporations and how much they can and do to shut down or kind of quiet the spread of views that they don't agree with. It seems like it's a lot easier for someone on the right to get a suspension or booting from Twitter than it is for someone on the left.
And then, well, they've already, the stock of Twitter is down. What impact do you think this is going to have on Twitter, Matt?
I don't think it's going to have a big impact in the short run. In the longer run, it may. You know, again, this is, you know, you had the discussion with the attorney yesterday, and I listened to that, and it was very illuminating. It kind of followed along with my understanding of what, you know, most of the laws are and what effect they have on public discourse. Short run, not much. Long run, you know, if you keep doing, if they keep behaving in what seems an arbitrary and capricious manner, that's going to prompt, you know, politicians to do something. You know, they're always going to do something. You know, here's something wrong. Do something about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a good idea, but that may be the kind of proximate result of what Twitter's done.
But don't you think conservatives will jump off of Twitter and go elsewhere? I mean, Rush Limbaugh already did.
Yeah, and others are, you know, the thing is, it's like you can go someplace else, but then you're kind of ghettoizing yourself, and it's you know, they often say, well, if you don't like the way this is run, go someplace else. And then a bunch of them went to that Parler app. I am not on Parler. I am still on Twitter. Haven't been banned yet. But then Amazon Web Services shuts down Parler. That troubles the heck out of me. There are other, you know, internet providers. There are other people that, you know, do server farms and content distribution networks. But Amazon Web Services and there are some others, they are so large, and if they're all acting in that same fashion, I'm not sure, you know, it's, you can't create a Twitter competitor without using that kind of infrastructure. Creating that kind of infrastructure on your own as a startup in the early days of a company like that is like saying, you know, it's like the power company saying, we're not going to run power to your building because, you know, you're a bunch of white nationalists or something. And so you can't get power.
Well, here's something to think about as we go to the news break on the Stolberg Law KVC text line. Twitter still has the Ayatollah on Twitter, but not Trump.
Yeah, they do.
All right, off we go. We've got California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Mr. Craig Hill will update us on time saver traffic and weather together. We will continue our conversation with Matt Hoy. Check out his hoystory.com website. We'll welcome your phone calls. Are conservatives being unfairly censored on social media? What about the Cumulus decision to have their talk show host shut up about election fraud? Curious about how you feel? We'll find out next. Well, they're coming after me tonight. That's fine. Here's another text on the Stolberg line. One thing to say, you're biased. It's another to claim you're unbiased. I'm not unbiased. I'm biased. I admit it. And spew propaganda is fair and balanced and failing to announce you have an agenda. I probably have an agenda. If it were Biden in the other shoes, wouldn't you want to hear the man out? I've made it clear. Matt Hoy, didn't I just say I would not have banned Trump permanently? I would have banned him for no more than 30 days just to kind of cool things down. All right?
I heard that just a few short minutes ago, even with my short attention span.
Oh, Lord. All right, so we're talking a little bit about Cumulus telling their radio talk show hosts like Mark Levin to knock it off and stop talking about election fraud. And we're also talking about social media. Trump being banned from Twitter permanently, which even I think is an overreaction. Matt Hoy was talking about Parler and what's happening to them. We want to hear from you. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Those are the numbers that bring you into the conversation. Holly's in Atascadero. Hi, Holly.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Holly.
I used to be in SLO, but now I'm up in A-Town.
Yeah.
So I think what's confusing about these issues is that, you know, in private industry, an employer's not allowed to discriminate on the basis of religion or race. And it just seems like the First Amendment is being made an exception here. Personally, it's what I'm not being told is what I'm concerned about than what I am being told because of pressures from advertisers. You know, like you have Big Pharma sponsors every channel on the television. And are we going to find out about dangers of particular drugs or vaccinations? You know, I mean, I'm up for taking the vaccine, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, are we going to hear any news about whether, you know, there's harm involved?
Yeah. Matt, is there a fair, is that a fair concern?
Oh, I think it's a very fair concern. You know, the drug companies definitely want to get, you know, they want to get the vaccine out. They're making a ton of money off of it, which I'm absolutely not opposed to. I prefer them, you know, coming out with a good product really quick. The dangers of that, I worry about, you know, the media downplaying that and doing it possibly for political reasons. One of the things that kind of got me a few weeks ago was, you know, Trump was suggesting, I hope, you know, we're going to get this vaccine by the end of the year, and I hope we have the vaccine by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Speaking of last year, mm-hmm. and you had fact checkers checking the future. PolitiFact said it was false. It was false because that wouldn't happen very quick. Of the thousands of lies the Washington Post fact checker counted against Trump, 26 of them were him saying, "I hope we get it by the end of the year," and Washington Post saying that's not going to happen. Then it did happen, and Washington Post memory hold those accusations that Trump was a liar about that. So, I worry.
Let's come back to social media, though. Holly, what about Trump being kicked off of Twitter?
Well, he's extremely annoying. I never followed him because he's very annoying and insightful on a daily basis. But you couldn't help but see his tweets because, you know, the media would retweet him, or friends would, as long as he's factual, I would say he has a right to be on there. Maybe they're just tired of fact checking him. I don't know. I mean, everything seems to come down to money, and
you're so cynical, Holly. Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. Before I take the next call, the idea about Trump and tweeting, I think Holly has a really good point there. The media was the one making a big deal out of every time Trump tweeted something, they jumped on it and treated it as if it was a news story, whether it deserved to be or not. That's my impression, Matt.
Yeah, and I think part of that was also due to the fact that he wasn't having regular press briefings. So if you're not getting that from, you know, the press secretary, you're not asking questions there, although, frankly, the last 4 years, that's kind of been a kabuki play of some sort.
Yeah.
Reporters weren't so much seeking information as, you know, wanting to bash people. But if you don't have, if they need something to fill their time.
Yeah. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 for Matt Hoy. Jim's in Arroyo Grande. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
What just really disappoints me is that Trump got dropped from Twitter, every other platform. That is really disturbing to me.
Why?
Because we are a society of First Amendment. And Andrea Merkel said today, at least what I was reading on the AP, is that's not right. And do I agree with burning the flag? No. Do I agree with what happened in the Capitol? No. But it is a process of freedom of speech. And once the mainstream media, Facebook, Twitter, etc., start banning people, then they get to control all everything. They get to control. I've been banned from a couple of stupid websites just because I said a couple of things.
All right.
It's just I just don't think it's fair.
Jim, I promise we will not ban you from the show. I appreciate the call and the passion, and I'm going to ask Matt Hoy for a response at this point. How do you respond, Matt?
Well, yeah, Matt, it concerns me. It does. The way you get your message out nowadays is via these platforms. If they ban you from these platforms, it makes it much more difficult. It makes it much more costly. You can start up your own website, but if you can't place Google ads so people find it when they're searching for it, or Facebook or Twitter ads, if you can't advertise it, then you're not going to get a whole lot of traffic. You're not going to be able to get your message out there. And these tech companies do hold a lot of power. One thing that happened a few months ago that really concerned me was one of the websites I visit, and this is kind of a pro-Trump website, has become that over the past few years. But they've got some interesting articles, is thefederalist.com. Thefederalist.com runs Google ads, and they got email from Google 6 or 9 months ago, and Google was concerned about the comments, not their articles, people's comments on their articles.
Wow.
And what ended up happening, and they said, if you don't remove that, we're not going to allow you to receive income from Google ads. And so they turned off their whole comment section.
Probably a smart move. All right. Let's. We got Eric on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, I even see it going farther. I called last night about being censored by Facebook for something pretty, obtuse. But I've also, last night I got banned from a group that supposedly, their whole with permaculture, this is an ag group, promotes inclusion and diversity. And they said they no longer wanted people from the right. And I said, but I thought this group wanted inclusion and diversity and got banned for saying that. It's going more than just these big multimedia organizations, but these giant groups within them. And I'm sure the right does the same thing. I mean, I personally have a group in San Luis Obispo, and I love my left-leaning base because they have the balls to go out there and say what's on their mind. And, I actually get in touch with them and thank them for their comments because, it's predominantly right-wing, and I want to have a left voice, and I just see the stifling of each other is ridiculous.
So are there other places that you can go, Eric, that are similar?
Oh, there's definitely other places. I just thought it was funny that I was just calling them out because they're supposed to be about inclusion and diversity, and they banned me for asking them why they are not allowing inclusion and diversity. I just thought it was so hypocritical. And I actually was talking to the guy's wife, and this is a worldwide group, fairly large group. They have hundreds of thousands of members, and we were actually talking, and then next thing I know, I'm banned. And it's just, and I'm not saying only people from the left do that. People from the right, I'm sure, do the same thing. But we need to have a conversation regardless of what it's about. And it seems like we're so unwilling to listen to the other side.
Yeah.
And I promote it personally in my groups because I want to hear from the other side. And, you know, some of them that I have, they're the minority, but I want them to have a voice, and I stand behind their voice.
Matt, how do you respond to this?
I would applaud what he was doing. Too often, though, and he discovered this last night, I guess, or, you know, with this group. When they say they want diversity and inclusion, they don't mean diversity of thought. They mean all the other kinds of diversity.
Yeah.
And I will say that's what I wrote, diversity of thought. I said inclusion and diversity of thought, and that's what got me banned, so I left that part out.
Eric, I'm glad you had the balls to call in tonight. Thank you. Jesus Christ. All right. Bob is in Arroyo Grande on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good, Bob. How are you?
Well, you know, I've been better, but then again, I've been worse, too. So overall, I'm okay.
What's your take on all this, sir?
Well, first of all, I keep hearing lots and lots and lots of stuff about First Amendment rights. For a long time now, I've just kept a copy of the Constitution real handy. So real quick here, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Yes.
So your First Amendment has absolutely nothing to do with Twitter deciding to shut you down.
You're correct.
You do not have a right of free speech on Twitter. That's a company. And it's up, they can do what they want to do. I get real tired of people mischaracterizing that as a constitutional situation when it isn't.
We've got a smart caller here, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously right, but there is, you know, that First Amendment, while it only applies to the government in this country, and again, through the 14th, it's incorporated against the states and all of their kind of lesser sovereign entities, cities, counties, that sort of stuff. You know, we as a society have taken that right to free speech found in the First Amendment and kind of, it's part of the social fabric. The idea that you are free to speak your mind. And if you get to the point where you are too afraid to do it, or if you are guilty of wrong, think we're going to try and ruin you, that's not technically a First Amendment issue. It's not technically a legal issue. But it is, I think, a bigger societal issue of, you know, how can we, you know, stay together in one country when, you know, you can't utter an unpopular opinion, or it will get you fired, or it will get you, financially ruined or something else.
Bob, you want to come back on that?
Absolutely. I think that the statement about us being one country is a fallacious statement. And if you're talking about people being penalized for free speech and saying what they really mean, how about a couple hundred years of black people, the years of gay people, the years of Mexican, brown, Latino, whatever you want to call them, people? How about the people who tried to stand up and say that they're Muslims, but they don't want to blow up the trade towers? A lot of people had absolutely no problem with shutting all those folks down. It seems like the only time that there's a real problem with stopping that kind of speech is when it's made by a certain group of people, being white Americans who think that, in my opinion, who think that they should be in charge, and they're disenfranchised because they're not in charge.
Oh, we could do a whole hour on this. Bob, I like your style. I hope you'll call back in. Thanks for joining us tonight. Let's get to Ron in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
I agree with the comment section. I believe there should be comment sections based upon articles that people write in that. What I have a hard time with is the anonymity associated with the comments. I firmly believe that you're going to make a comment about something, you should be able to identify yourself and defend your comments, not just throw this garbage out there, because there's no way of knowing who actually said it. So I would love to see comments, but I would love to see these articles, these journals and these newspapers and everything require a name, registered name.
Matt, can't we go back to the old days, like letter to the editor? You had to put your name and address and everything when you sent a letter to the editor?
Let's go back even farther. Let's go back to those troublesome old white guys, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison. I'm referring to the Federalist Papers that were all published under the nom de plume Publius.
Yeah. How did white guys get into this conversation? It's just everybody. It's inclusive of everybody.
Ron, hang on.
Okay.
Matt was just being clever and referencing the prior caller. Okay. But Matt, what about the larger point? People shouldn't be posting anonymously. What do you think about that?
I can see why people would want to post anonymously from time to time. I think that as a reader, you're free to infer less credibility in anonymous posts than non-anonymous posts.
Yep.
But I wouldn't want to ban it, or I wouldn't want to necessarily require, as long as people aren't pretending to be someone else. If someone just, doesn't want their politics coming back to bite them, in some parts of the country that may be liberal leaning politics, if it's the South or the Mountain West maybe, and over here if it's conservative leaning politics, I can understand, based on the current kind of political climate, why you wouldn't necessarily want to attach your name to something.
Ron?
Yeah, okay. When I'm with my friends and everything, we don't have anonymous. I believe that if you have a statement, if you have a comment, if you have a belief, whether it's religious or political or just being a good neighbor, and you want to put that belief out there, you should be able to stand up for that. You should be able, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand up for. If I didn't, I wouldn't put it out there. If I'm going to take a hit, I should be able to respond to it. We don't have any responsibility and accountability anymore with these anonymous comments.
All right, Ron, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your opinion. I will squeeze in Garth and say hello and tell him he's got 2 minutes. Hey, Garth.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
Interesting discussion. As you know, Dave, I'm no Donald Trump supporter. But him being banned from these platforms, I have a real problem with. A lot of people are applauding these bans. But I have to agree with former war correspondent Chris Hedges when he says, these could backfire. I mean, to allow these companies to essentially function as de facto platforms for censorship and manipulation, that harkens back to the way civil liberties were kind of attacked in the wake of 9/11 and things such as that. So I think, again, it's going down a slippery slope by banning free speech.
That's got to come. And Garth, thank you for the call. Slippery slope, Matt Hoy?
That's the worry. That's, today it's Trump. Tomorrow it's Pence. And 3 weeks from next Tuesday, it's you, Dave.
I want the controversy. Please, ban me from Twitter. Ban me from anywhere. Matt Hoy, we always appreciate your time. Again, your website is hoystory.com. And you're in the process of redesign. The new website will debut when?
Hopefully before the end of this week.
All right.
I've got a couple little things I'm trying to fix, and once that's done, off it goes.
John on the Stolberg line. I've been torn about this all week. The only thing I know for certain is that we need some sort of court that addresses these things in a legal and consistent way. We have that now. We have a court that addresses this, don't we, Matt?
We have lots of courts that address this. Yeah. And they basically said, you know, it's your company. You got the right to do with it as you please.
Yeah. Nice job as always, Matt. We appreciate your time. I got about a minute for a final thought.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'd like to agree with the last caller that you should be able to, you know, put your name behind something and stand up for it. The problem is you've got groups on the right and the left who have announced that they are going to, you know, make it their purpose to kind of hound you for wrong think for the rest of your life if necessary. The Project Lincoln group announced just a couple days ago they were going to come up with a database for everyone who'd worked in the Trump administration, in what capacity they'd worked for the Trump administration, and publish it out there as some sort of, you know, blacklist. Hmm. And that doesn't help cure what ails kind of the American body politic.
Probably makes it worse. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt, we got to go. But thanks as always for your time, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back and wrap things up on Hometown Radio.
KVEC.
Good show today. Thanks to Patty Blue Hayes and Eric Stein and Andy Morris and Senator Sam Blakesley and Mr. Matt Hoy. Show will be up shortly at 920kvec.com. If you've missed any of it, thank you for supporting local radio. Thanks as always to Craig Hill for his help. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home.
This is 920 AM and